Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. We are 24 hours away from Texans training camp beginning. We had a nice social event with the Texans media staff last night to get us amped up. Nothing gets me more amped up than free appetizers and alcohol and open bar, bowling, and video games.
And they do a really good job.
A tremendous job.
Especially with the appetizers.
Yes.
Lots of finger foods, yes. Lots to get you full.
There's nothing tongue-in-cheek about what I just said. I love that event every year.
No, it's really
good. It's like the first day of school, too, because you see a lot of people you haven't seen all summer, you know, from different media outlets, and nowadays different people that stream their own shows and things like that that you don't, you know, you're in touch because of social media, but you know, it's like getting back together. It's like being at school, like being in the playground, getting ready to walk into homeroom for the first time.
It's a who's who of Texans media.
It is.
I think that's a good way to look at a who's who of Texans media, so much so that I ended up not getting a chance to go to this yesterday because I had a family emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But ahead of time, I'd planned to go. I'd RSVP'd for this event and everything. I was picking out what I was going to wear. You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like we're past that stage of life. It's like, what am I going to wear to this? If it's not like a super formal event, you just wear whatever you're going to wear. This was a big enough thing to where I had to pick out an outfit.
I had an outfit. I picked out which pair of Jordans I was going to wear with my outfit.
Same.
I got a compliment in the elevator in my building on how good I smelled going to the event. Yeah, man.
Which is key.
It's key.
Smelling good sometimes even more important than looking good.
Combo of cologne and some of the Rock's Papa Tui body lotion. Coconut silk flavor.
I'm not familiar with the Rock's body lotion.
Rock's got some excellent grooming products.
That doesn't surprise
they
me
sell
one
at,
bit.
They sell them at Target.
Okay.
Papa Tui is the name of them. It's almost a free live read, but Amy really likes how they smell. So that's the key. I don't care how I smell. I care how she thinks I smell.
You caring by proxy is really just how woman in your life cares.
I just want her to think I smell good. Yeah.
Yes.
Or not think. Know that I. And I'm making an effort, too. You know,
I've always said guys can get away with, and I'm not calling you ugly or me ugly, but guys can get away with not being handsome or good looking.
Yeah.
You can't, because I've seen beautiful women date ugly guys, and 100%. I'm sure all of us have. Everybody that's listening has.
Yeah.
I have not seen beautiful women date smelly guys.
No.
I don't see smelly guys get girls.
No, smell good, have a sense of humor, and you can cover up a lot of blemishes.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
How you feeling this morning, my friend?
I'm feeling really good.
7-Eleven coffee ready to go?
Got a 7-Eleven coffee.
Do you have a place that you stop like in the mornings? Like is that a specific 7-Eleven that you stop at and you know the guy behind the counter and everything?
So I don't know them yet because I just moved. This is a new... Okay, so Sean,
new crib.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I am... what I call like a corner store connoisseur.
Okay.
I'm a corner store guy.
Yeah.
I go there for all sorts of number of things.
Yeah.
I might go to the store, whatever store is closest to my house, I might go 3 times in a day. That would not be weird. Like just for different things.
So this is a new one for
you.
So
this is my new spot. Now it's the spot that's also closest to my parents' house. So it's not a spot I've never been to before, but it is a new spot for me kind of frequenting. So I think I'm going to test this one out and see how it goes.
Okay.
There are a couple of different candidates. The 7-Eleven is one that's open at the time when we're driving in to do this show.
It's like American Idol for convenience stores.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great.
They are auditioning.
So, how are they doing so far? How's that coffee treat?
So far, so good.
Okay.
I mean, it helps that they were open at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
You know
yeah,
what
that's
mean?
Kind of a big deal. So yeah, they do need to be open, yeah.
Yeah, I like the... There's a Murphy's nearby, too. A Murphy USA.
Yeah.
Between the two of them... it's a pretty tight race, I
okay,
would say.
Good. All right. I look forward to keeping track of this contest that you've got going on.
It's actually a serious one.
Yeah.
Like, which corner store will be mine?
It's a big deal.
I'm trying to decide which one is closest in proximity,
yep.
Which one has the best product, and all of that.
It's a big deal. Weigh in on the text page if you can help out B. Scott. Out south side of Missouri City area.
Yeah, Missouri City way. Close to the Fort Bend Toll.
Yeah, man. Give him some suggestions. So I'm at the event last night. And it gets to be about 8:30, 8:45, and this is when the Astros game is just starting up because they're in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I glance up at the screen at like 8:50, maybe 9, thereabouts, and they're already down 1-0.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, self, this feels very familiar. And as it turns out, I was right. It does feel familiar for a reason. The Astros have not scored. Did you know this? The Astros have not scored first in a game Do you know the last time they scored first? And they won, by the way. If you're just waking up, I should say that. They won 6-3.
They did.
And we're going to talk about Bryce Matthews in just a second. Could not be happier for that
How
kid.
About Bryce Matthews?
Could not
coming
be
out party last
Two
night.
Bombs last
Shout
night.
Shout out to Bryce Matthews.
Talk about that in a second.
Atascocita's own.
That's exactly right. Local kid made good. Do you know the last time the Astros scored first in a Major League Baseball game?
I don't know this stat. And I imagine, and I did watch the game last night, I imagine that they said it and I missed it, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
You remember when they beat the Dodgers 18-1?
I do remember that.
July the 4th?
Yeah, 4th of July, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the last time they scored first in a baseball game.
Yeah, that feels like forever ago.
12 games. I mean, it feels like forever because they plunked an All-Star break in between. Like, think about that. If someone had told you on July 4th, after they won 18-1, hey, enjoy that, they're not going to score first in a game. Well, we still don't know. They still haven't. This thing may keep going. It's still open-ended.
So win or
we're on July 22nd now.
Yeah, because they've done some winning and losing since then. And
more losing than winning, but yeah.
But win or lose, yes. They don't score first.
They don't score first.
Too often.
Either way. But last night was a night where they answered quickly, swiftly, and with great authority. And Bryce Matthews, I'm driving home because I got to get home now, man. They're losing. I'm in the car. And they're going to, listening to Steve Sparks and Robert Ford on the broadcast. Shout out to them. They do a great job.
Yep.
And they're going through Bryce's number since he got called up. And there was not a lot of confidence that he was going to come through with two outs and two on in that moment. And then he hit the bomb.
Yep.
He got to see you later.
Yeah.
And then he hit one again later in the game. And so his first two home runs. And this is kind of what Bryce Matthews has been in the minor league level, too. You know, a lot of feast or famine. Especially with the home road splits.
It's the story of his offensive game so far. Feast or famine. He did a pretty good job of walking, but he's either walking, hitting, or striking
out. He won you a game last night.
He did.
He won you a game.
Five of the six runs were brought in by Bryce Matthews, and you won by three runs.
Yep.
So, it's a big deal, especially when you look at how lost he looked in the very beginning, striking out and – what was he like, 1-13?
Well, he was 1-12.
One for 12 going into this game. So his second and third big league hits even are home runs.
Are home runs.
Yeah, and it took all of five games for him to kind of figure out and get his feet under him. It is really great to see.
It's great to see. When he's not striking out, he's making good contact. Even like some of his outs, when he was 1-12, some of the outs he's getting that are non-strikeout outs have been well-struck baseballs.
I feel like only his first game where I think he struck out every at-bat, if I'm not mistaken.
He made contact on – he hit a fly ball in his last at-bat because I remember his parents celebrating it like it was a home run.
Right.
He made contact. Thank God.
But I feel like after that first game, and really if you go back to just the Seattle series.
Five of his first seven at-bats he struck out.
But over time, the at-bat started to look better and better.
Yes.
So, and then that culminates in last night and two home runs. And so we've kind of seen the progression. He just wasn't getting results, hadn't been getting results at all except for the one hit. And then you finally see some results of the improvement over the last several games, five games or so.
So that's, it's a different guy every night. That last night it was Bryce Matthews. Leave him in the lineup tonight, man. Well, don't mess with it. Leave him out there. He's seeing it now.
And how about, I know Bryce Matthews is a story. That's the one we can talk about. But how about even Taylor Trammell getting the single to get on? And then, of course, Bryce Matthews making good on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Taylor Trammell was the story of the game the night before.
Yep.
And then it's Bryce Matthews night and Taylor Trammell kind of coming through for you. And I had a moment too, Sean, where I look up and what's that batting order? You got
talking about the Astros batting.
Yeah,
order?
So you got Taylor Trammell, and eventually you get down to Bryce Matthews, and there was a point there where I'm looking up and I'm like, okay, Chaz McCormick, Bryce Matthews, Zach Short. That's the back end of their.
That's the bottom three in the order.
That's the bottom three of the order. And at that point, it hit me after they were already winning. I'm like, man, they're really doing this with guys like Taylor Trammell being in the lineup, who's never batted higher than fifth in his entire career.
Where was he batting last night?
I think he was fifth.
He's fifth? Yeah.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, he's batting fifth.
Taylor Trammell is your five hole hitter
And he's never batted higher than fifth. So you got Taylor Trammell, who's been important for you the last couple of games.
The last couple
of
games for sure.
And then that back end of Chaz McCormick, who feels like a shell of himself. And shout out to him for his bunt single last night and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got that, Bryce Matthews, and Zach Short.
Yeah,
and I'm
man.
Like, man. These are the Astros.
This
now.
Is how it's been for a month now.
Yeah.
This is how it's been. And it's and page further down on the box score there and get down to the pitching, Colton Gordon.
Yeah.
Colton Gordon gives you a start. And I said this when they started using the Colton Gordons and the Brandon Walters, Jason Alexander for a start,
yeah.
and Gusto. And you, all I'm asking for these guys, and the ask has not changed because it's not their fault that the lineup is so banged up, the everyday lineup, but just give us what Colton Gordon did last night. 5 2/3, 3 runs, 2 of them earned.
Yeah.
However you get the outs, you get the outs, whether it's strikeouts or whatever, if you're working out of trouble, just... If you get 6 innings and 3 runs out of these guys, I feel that way about Brandon Walters still, even though I don't know what his overall numbers are. He's had 2 bad starts and the rest of them have all been pretty good.
Yeah.
These guys that just, you had no expectation of them being a significant part of your season right now, a significant part. Whatever part you thought Ronel Blanco and Hayden Wisniewski and Spencer Arrighetti were to your season, I know Spencer's going to come back. The other two are done. Whatever you thought they were to your season, that's what these guys are right now.
Yeah.
And we didn't think it was supposed to be this way. So I thought all along, like, man, 5 2/3 and 3 runs or 2 runs, I'll sign up for that with these guys every time with those pitchers. You need more than you're getting out of Hunter right now. And Framber needs to be Framber tonight. You got to keep this thing going. But,
yeah.
But man, shout out to Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter and the rest of the Sugarland refugees that have come up here.
Yeah, so I thought Colton Gordon was a really cool story last night, aside from Bryce Matthews. That's the overwhelming story because he's what decided the game, his 2 home runs.
Yeah.
But Colton Gordon, to your point, man, like he goes out there, and I know Zach Gallen hasn't been the Zach Gallen that he was before this year. It's been an issue, and especially the home run ball. That's another thing. He's been susceptible to the home run ball, and, of course, Bryce Matthews goes out there
yep.
and takes advantage of that. But Colton Gordon goes out there and gives up 2 earned runs, 3 total because of the throwing error by Zach Short. But overall, outduels a more established pitcher. I mean, I think you got to get a guy a whole lot of credit for what he's been able to give you. Over this last several months or so, like you mentioned, these key guys being out, Colton Gordon can go out there and give you 5 2/3. And all he really gave up was the home run to Eugenio Suarez, who has hit 5 home runs over the last 3 games.
Yeah.
He had 2 Saturday,
no crime in that.
2 Sunday, and 1 last. So, you know, if that's the one that you're giving up or one of the big ones that you're giving up, you can live with
it. You're not alone. Yeah, you're not alone. Everybody's 100%. Giving up home runs to him. All right, we're off and running, man, on a Tuesday. This is our last show in studio for a while. Because we'll be out of Texans training camp tomorrow. We're excited about that. Fired up for the season. In fact, ESPN had an article yesterday ranking all of the rosters in the NFL. The talent level of the Texans, where does it stack up among the 32 teams? Do we agree with this? And why the Texans are going to be kings of the AFC South for a long, long time, if you look at this exercise. And B. Scott, if you're looking on the YouTube, this might be my favorite hoodie that I've seen. That is a great Texans hoodie you got on, man. So we'll talk Texans roster coming up next. Payne and Pendergast, man. Training camp getting going. B. Scott, I have a notebook right here next to me where I write my calendar down.
Oh, yeah.
You see right there? If I show it on the YouTube right there. And I write, just so I can glance, if I have something going on that day, I just jot it down next to that day. That way, I just know if my days are empty or full, you know. Like and so for the next.
You carry that around with you?
Well, I carry it in my backpack, you know, in my computer bag. But I literally handwrite all the dates. I've got a calendar on my phone.
I was going to say, I'm going to introduce you to Google Calendar.
No, I've got a calendar on my phone, and I put it in there too. But so I can just glance down and just see, like, oh yeah, that's right, I got that day. Camp, 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 camp. West Virginia, West Virginia, West Virginia. I say all this to say I'm very excited. I love this time of year. Where I look down and it just says training camp. For every day. I love training camp.
And there is something special about writing something down as opposed to typing it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's a muscle memory or if it's a subconscious thing. I don't know the science behind it.
Yeah.
But it's something about physically writing something down as opposed to typing it that's got a different kind of effect on the psyche.
Yeah, if I write it down, I have a better chance of not forgetting it.
Yeah.
And it's not an old guy thing. It's been that way forever. If I write things down, I'll remember it.
It's one of the reasons why I still keep a pen with me to this day. It's like if I need to write something, and I probably don't do it nearly as much as you would think for somebody that's always got a pen in their pocket.
May I recommend the notebook method to you? It's very, very effective.
Yeah, I've got the reporter's pad. It's in my backpack.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're an old school journo.
That's right.
Yeah, an
actual newspaper guy.
Yes.
I carry those around.
Good man.
Sometimes in my back pocket.
Good man. All right, so ESPN on the eve of the season of training camp, at least yesterday, ranked the 32 rosters around the NFL. 32 rosters, the rosters of all 32 teams. Let me see which ESPN scribe did this, so I can give proper attribution.
I would expect them to do like the group thing.
It's multiple contributors. Yep, yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's a writer by the name of Multiple Contributors.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're basically ranking the rosters of all these teams based on talent level. I don't know. I'm a bit of a homer. I know that. 13th for the Houston Texans felt a little low to me.
A little low.
It felt a little low. And as you page down, as you scroll down on this rank, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens are number one.
Yeah.
And that
shocker.
That maps to that aligns with my feeling on the Baltimore Ravens, which I've said many, many times. I know the Chiefs had the best record last year. I know the Bills are the ones that beat the Ravens in the postseason. Shout out to Mark Andrews. The Ravens, I felt all season long last year, and my feeling has not changed on this, that and some of this probably has to do with the fact that this is the one team that not just beats the DeMeco Ryans Texans, but beats them like a drum.
Yeah.
Is that the A game for the Ravens is the best of any A game of any NFL team. Like if everybody brought their best game to the playoffs, I would pick the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the problem with the Ravens is that they often don't bring
their C game sometimes.
Yeah, it seems like their best games usually come in the regular season. Right now they feel like a regular season team,
mm-hmm.
like a regular season type of champion.
Yep.
That everything that you just said about them is like the ultimate eye test team. And I'm not saying, you know, they got stats that will wow you too. But if you just like drop somebody off from a different planet and it's like, hey, you know, I know you don't know anything about football, but just what team looks more dominant, imposing, and like more of an issue than the next? And it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens every time.
Well, they would
time.
Look at Derrick Henry and say, hey, he was from our planet.
Right.
You know, like,
How did he get here before we did?
He looks like an alien in a good way.
Yeah. And then it doesn't help that they've got the most unique quarterback situation, like with Lamar Jackson. I mean, between this combination of skill and like, that's probably the most unique quarterback on top of being great.
Yes.
And then you got Derrick Henry back there running it with him.
Well, and they run it. They're a well-run team. Like they know what they're doing. Malachi Starks drops to 27th in the draft, the safety out of Georgia. He's a Baltimore Raven now. Like,
yeah.
Kyle Hamilton drops to 14, you know, like it's, they are really good at taking advantage of the mistakes that the other 31 teams make in the draft.
You especially being a Notre Dame guy, how predictable was it once they drafted Kyle Hamilton Kyle Hamilton was going to be great?
He's already
a really, really good player.
Seth said it on draft night when they drafted him. When the Ravens
Hall of Fame.
A lot of mock drafts had the Ravens getting Kyle Hamilton, and we were like, do not let this happen.
Yeah.
Don't get fooled by his 40 time. You know who doesn't get fooled by 40 times? The Baltimore Ravens. That's why I love Kamari Lassiter here. They ignored the 40 time with him. He's just a ball player like Kyle Hamilton.
Exactly.
Now, he's not Kyle Hamilton yet, you know, of cornerbacks, but he's really good. But it's the same thought process, which is who gives a crap what he ran wearing spandex in Indianapolis?
It's like, do you football, bro?
Yeah, man. So here's what they say about the Texans. Texans are 13th on this list. Text in 713-572-4610. Does 13th feel high, low? Because it's an interesting conundrum because the Texans have won the division twice, so that's good. So you would think, okay, a two-time division winner who has won a playoff game pretty resoundingly each of those seasons as well, finished one of the last eight teams standing, intuitively you would go, well, that's a top 10 team. And then you look at their division where there's not another team that's above 22 on this list. And you go, okay, well, that's a big reason why they're 10-7 these last couple years. Biggest strength for the Texans, according to this, edge rusher. And I agree. Talks about Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, and those are the big names, obviously. But then the others at that position, like DeNico Autry, if he can stay healthy and unsuspended, is a productive football player. Derek Barnett has been he was a waiver pickup 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's one of these guys that feels like he's just going to sign back here for a few million bucks every year. It's what he's done the last 2 years. And I'm anxious, you know, like under the radar name, I'm anxious to watch a training camp. This Daryl Taylor, the guy they signed from Chicago.
He is a favorite of places like the text line, Texans Reddit, like the deep pockets of
like 24 sacks in four
internet.
Seasons. He's
a kind of a sleeper.
Yeah.
And Derek Barnett, by the way, as a backup, like Derek Barnett, I think could start for a handful of teams. You know, like he is that good. The fact that he's just kind of tucked away as a depth piece, I think is an extreme luxury item for the
Texans. There are not a lot of positions that are open. I mean, they're gonna pay lip service to competition and all this stuff. And I do feel like the offensive line is a very competitive room right now because they're not settled on any permutation of guys. But on defense, especially some of these, I forget who I saw. I think it was Jonathan Alexander did a 53-man yesterday, like a pre-training camp 53-man roster.
Yeah.
And it really is like there's. If you're a young guy trying to make this team, whereas like 3 years ago when Kirk Heinisch is making the team as an undrafted guy, if you're an undrafted guy here in this camp, you're just trying to get on the practice squad.
Yeah. So if you're a guy on this defense, if you're somebody that's on the Texans defense right now.
Seats are all taken right now, man.
And let's say you don't know if you're on the team. You don't know if you're going to make the team. It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
It means you're not going to.
You're not making the team.
You're probably not making the team.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If it's a question, then the answer's no.
Yep. Yeah. Biggest weakness, ironically, not offensive line. Interior defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, we got to disagree with this, right?
Well, I'm disagreeing with it. This is where there is, I think, a disconnect between the national media and local. Where we see these guys, and none of them are, you know, none of them are Aaron Donald, obviously. But for what they are, it's a pretty productive group. And defensive line is one of those positions where if D'Amico Ryans is the head coach, whatever a guy is, whatever his ceiling is, you're going to get that plus like another 10% out of him in D'Amico Ryans' defense.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen overachieve in this defense.
So, for me, I think the obvious answer would be the offensive line. And if you,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't
you
know
could pick
how
it apart.
Be.
You could
yeah.
go interior. You could go tackle. I mean, they've remade the whole thing for the most part. I don't know how you don't go offensive line. That's the easy pick. But even if you wanted to take a harder pick and just stay on the defensive side of the ball,
yeah.
I've got far less confidence in the linebacking group than I do the interior defensive line. Like, I know yesterday I had Christian Harris as my breakout candidate if we were to have one. But, I mean, I thought you raised a pretty solid counter-argument for Christian Harris and, by proxy, that entire group.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's more questions than answers, I feel like, with the linebacking core as opposed to the defensive tackles. Maybe you're not overwhelmed. Maybe you're even a little bit underwhelmed. But I feel like you should know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty solid play, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you only need four of them. You know, and a linebacker, I'm not sure after Azeez Al-Shaair what we're getting. You know, Christian Harris is the most talented out of all of them. But he can't stay healthy. Henry Toa improved last year, but I think there's a ceiling on what he can do.
Yeah. Brought in E.J. Speed.
Well, and there's a reason E.J. Speed signed a one-year deal for $3+ million.
That's
bucks.
True.
You know, like if he were the solution, he'd be getting paid a lot more money by somebody probably not the Texans. We had somebody bring this up on the text page yesterday. Like the Texans, when we were talking about the defense, saying they're a stud defensive tackle away from being that kind of defense.
Damn, how many studs do you want on the defense,
well,
man? I mean, that's true. They don't have a stud defensive tackle.
No.
But they got a lot of studs
lot
on
of
the
studs.
Defense.
Yeah, you can't have all pros everywhere.
God, dang,
unless you knock the draft out of the park, you can't have all pros everywhere because you can't afford them. You have to have cheap labor. I replied to that texter yesterday, not on the air but off the air, and I said the next stud interior defensive lineman the Texans will have, they'll have another one someday, is playing in college right now. Or maybe even
if
high
that,
school.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe even high school. Like, they are, you're about to sign C.J. Stroud to a contract in a year. You're about to sign Will Anderson Jr. to a massive contract in a year, presumably. And there's going to be others that you either need to pay or are already paying, like Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter.
The Nico Collins deal is going to be due at some point.
Someone's going to get paid on the offensive line at some point, we hope. So all of those things. And I think defensive tackle is going to be a position that is going to be a journeyman position where you're finding guys that are swarmy, for lack of a better word. You know, they subscribe to the D'Amico Ryans way of doing business, and you can get like a Tim Settle year out of these guys. Tim Settle was a really productive player for them last year. Or you're going to draft a guy and he turns into one of these guys you're going to want to give a $25 million contract to someday. Well, the next stud they get is in college right now.
Well, this ESPN piece, in noting the Texans' biggest strengths, they mentioned edge rusher, but they also say that it's a toss-up between edge rusher and cornerback. I feel like as long as that's the case, as long as the strength of the defense is the edge rushers and the cornerback.
Premium positions.
And on the younger side, we're talking namely Will Anderson Jr. And hell, with the cornerbacks, both guys are young. I know Derek Stingley just got paid, but Stingley and Kamari Lassiter are still both relatively young players. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter going into his second season. As long as that's the case, I don't feel like defensive tackle is going to be a premium position for them, especially when those positions are premium.
Again, unless they draft a guy and they strike gold with him. They're not going to go shopping for it. I'm with you on that. They play 7 of the 12 teams in front of them. My biggest surprise is on this. Okay, so we're going through ESPN ranking the 32 rosters around the NFL. If you're just getting in your car, the Texans are 13th on this list. As I was paging down on this list, it goes Baltimore, it goes Philly, 3rd is Detroit, 4th is Buffalo. There's nothing that's jumping out at me so far. Kansas City being 5th is something we're not used to seeing. You know, they've typically been a team that's 1 or 2 on lists like this.
But also feels about right.
Yeah. No, it's a little jarring, but it's not incorrect. Denver at 6.
So I've got a couple of problems with the list ahead of the Texans. I'll be honest with you, Sean. This one's not one of them.
Maybe not at six.
I don't love them, but I do think that you can make a case for them above the Texans. So if we're just making that argument, I can go with that. Now, 6 is a little rich for my blood, but ahead of the Texans, I don't have a huge problem.
Okay, stop me when you get to the one that's a problem. All right?
I will.
7 at Commanders at 7.
I get it. I don't actually agree, but I get it based off of everything that happened.
Rams at 8.
That's the one that surprised me a little bit, but I also get that one too.
Okay, Rams at 8. Texans play them, by the way, in the opener. Okay, Cincinnati at 9.
Come on now. What are we doing?
You're Joe Burrowing is what you're doing right there.
You got to be – and all
that's
due
a,
respect –
that's a top-heavy rating right
look,
there.
Look, Joe Burrow's that dude. Yeah. Like, I don't have to sell anybody on Joe Burrow. I'm probably preaching to the choir. Everybody thinks highly of Joe Burrow. But after that, we're talking about Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. And then just – I was just watching that quarterback series. I finished it up last night finally.
Okay.
And I'm looking around like, man, poor Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like, they don't deserve – that organization doesn't deserve this guy.
Nope.
And, like, he's basically carrying him on his shoulders for the past 5 years or so now. Like, I don't get how – as a – if we're just talking about quarterback rankings, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about quarterback plus weapons rankings, that's another thing. An entire team, the Bengals ain't it to me.
No, look at the defense. I don't know how you look at this defense and say – that whatever they're doing offensively counters how piss poor this defense is enough to put them 4 spots ahead of the Texans. I mean, the Texans have some really good offensive players. Their line is at best a work in progress. I get that.
Dude, I lost track of how many times Joe Burrow and that offense got them 30-plus points and they still lost the game last year.
They still lost. Well, that's what that quarterback – that's what it, the quarterback documentary felt like it was 50% documentary on how awful – the Bengals defense was, but they have the roster, you know, they have the depth chart, the starters on each side of the ball for all these teams. Trey Hendrickson is on here. He's in a contract dispute with the team. Ja'Marr Stewart is on here. He's not even around the team right now. Yeah. We'll have audio from Mike Brown later in the show where you're going to be really glad that this is a city where they have an actual GM and not the owner running the team.
Yeah.
Dallas is another one, but I'm looking at these guys they have on defense. Like, Cincinnati, definitely B. Scott. San Francisco 10, Minnesota 11, Tampa Bay 12, just to close out the teams that are above the Texans. By the way, the AFC South, Jacksonville 22, Indy 25, Tennessee 28.
Yeah, I don't love Minnesota or Tampa above the Texans.
I don't either.
And I think Minnesota's a fine team. I think Tampa's a fine team.
Yeah.
But I don't love them above the Texans. So those would be the three that stand out to me. Cincy, Minnesota, and Tampa being above the Texans, I don't have that.
We'll find out about L.A. and Tampa early, because those are their first two opponents of the season. Texans open with 2 NFC teams. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. B. Scott in for Seth Payne today and tomorrow. We'll be out of Texans training camp tomorrow. Up next, headlines. Astros win last night. Texans make a signing. We've got some other headlines that we'll get to as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
High fly ball, sky to deep left field. Gurriel Jr. back near the wall. This is gone! First career home run for Bryce Matthews. And the Astros out in front 3-1.
Good boy, Bryce.
Todd Callis on the call. Jeff Blum as well. Space City Home Network. Bryce Matthews with a three-run home run in the second inning. The Astros had done what they've done for the last 12 games, fall behind early in a game. But Bryce Matthews fell behind 1-0. But Bryce Matthews, three-run home run, and the Astros did not look back. They win 6-3 yesterday to finally get a series started off on a positive note here. Been a while since we've had that happen, B. Scott. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. Here was Bryce Matthews after the game on his big night that he had at the plate.
I'm just happy and grateful. A lot of good information from my teammates and how to approach this guy. He's a really good pitcher. So just trying to get a good pitch to hit and not miss it. And I think I executed it today.
Yeah. Not one, but two home runs, I should mention that. We heard the first one. There was a second one later. They went 6-3. Bryce Matthews had five of the six RBIs on those two bombs.
Yeah, credit to Bryce Matthews for the two bombs. Took him all of five games to figure it out. You love to see it. Been rooting for the kid the entire time, being a local product. Credit to the vets on the team. From that audio you heard there, clearly he's got the veterans around him coaching him up. And in this game in particular, it sounds like, and I wonder how much Christian Walker had to do with that, having played with Zach Gallen, knowing Zach Gallen a little bit better. But, of course, Zach Gallen's a known commodity around baseball. If you've played a long time, you probably know. And so it's a real cool thing. But also shout out to Zach Gallen for throwing meatballs out there. I mean, you're talking about fastballs right over the middle. Like, if you can't come get this one, you might have an issue. Like,
yeah.
Those were gifts. And I'm not taking anything away from what Bryce Matthews did. Again,
turn him into home runs.
Yeah, turn him into home runs is exactly what you're supposed to do. I think Zach Gallen made two critical mistakes in the game, and they were both to Bryce Matthews, and he made them pay.
That's great, man. Young guy who's in his third week of Major League Baseball hitting mistake pitches. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you want to see improvement. That's what you've seen from Bryce Matthews since he got up.
Yep. Joe Espada, after the game, talked about Bryce Matthews developing while playing for a contender.
You know, one thing is that, you know, he's developing, you know, player development doesn't end at the major league level. It continues at the major league level. And we have some really good teachers here, you know, on the hitting side, on, you know, Parachica with his defense. So we can continue that process here. But he's open-minded. This kid is coachable. He's tough. And you need to have those ingredients to, you know, to get, be able to finish yourself here at the major league level.
Okay. And that should be pointed out. You know, a lot of times these guys get called up from the minor leagues, and you know, half the time you're getting called up for a team, if it's especially the second half of the season, that if the games aren't high pressure, you know, it's not a contender. You know, you're a young guy getting called up to get some at bats so you can be a future contributor for the team. Bryce Matthews is getting called up to start at second base for a team that is playing in all important games for the rest of the year.
Yeah, being called up out of necessity.
Yeah.
Both in the lineup and, of course, right, you know, second base has been a bit of a turnstile, especially since they moved Jose Altuve predominantly out to left field. So they need your help at second base, and they need your help. Even if you're on the bottom third of the batting order, they need everything that they can get. You know, they're asking a lot of you. And, you know, it's a credit to, I think, the younger players on this team, starting with Cam Smith earlier in the year. We talked about this a lot yesterday, how apparently Dana Brown could see something within him that said, hey, this particular young guy can handle it. And Bryce Matthews clearly, as we've said, has improved since he got up. Not too big for him.
Quotes from Yordan Alvarez on his situation with his hand right now. These are courtesy of Chandler Rome on Twitter. Yordan Alvarez talking about the hand, his right hand that has him still on the injured list. Where the pain is in the hand, it's a little bit difficult to have surgery there. That's why I say I need a little bit of rest right now.
What?
It's right now.
Wait a minute.
He hasn't played since May 2nd.
Yeah, so what has he been doing since then?
I don't know. It's an area where normally we don't get surgery in that area, but I think it isn't something I'll have to keep. I think it isn't something I'll have to keep dealing with. Was asked, will you have to deal with it all year? Quote, I wish not, but I don't know. But if I have to deal with it, it'll be for the rest of the season. I think I need to rest it. But again, I need to come back and play, and I think I'm in the right direction right now to come back and play. I glean nothing from this. I take nothing away from this.
I need
These
to
are
rest.
Empty, irrelevant, semi, not infuriating, but like these quotes agitate me.
Well, here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing he needs to rest, he needs to play, he needs surgery, and he doesn't. So
yeah,
I'm hearing a little bit of everything, which,
what?
Back to your point, means I'm hearing nothing.
Yeah. I read these quotes after I got home last night and had a couple glasses of wine, and I'm like, okay, it's got to be the alcohol talking, because I don't know what the hell he's saying here.
Yeah.
What is he saying?
You know what he's not saying? That he's close to being back.
That he'll be back soon.
Bat is going to be in the lineup anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying for sure.
That's why I said, okay, well, I'll process it off the air. That's the latest on Yordan Alvarez.
But right? Sean, it's so frustrating, the idea that a guy, and I'm not clearly not a medical expert, mm-hmm. obviously, but that a guy who hasn't played since May 2nd has deemed his treatment or the thing that he needs is rest, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, God.
Yeah.
Man.
Been getting after it since May 2nd, apparently.
Yeah. And
got to rest it now, man.
This area of the hand doesn't get surgery. So
what are we doing?
So there's not an ideal surgical way to fix it, and it needs 3 months of rest?
Well, it needs more rest, apparently, too. Just three months.
3+ months of rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Riddle me that, man. That's really frustrating.
That should be a little concern. I know his contract is an incredible contract. I know it's amazing. And given that he hit a home run to win the World Series for you before the extension even kicked in, you pay him whatever, you know, like it's a great contract when he's healthy. This hand thing, like nothing he said right there makes me feel any better about this being a non-recurring thing.
Yeah.
Like nothing he said right. Well, surgery can't really fix it. I need rest. And he's been resting for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. His contract is like. It's like if they sold you a Lincoln at a super discount, but then they're like, you know what? The AC doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, though.
The rest of it's really nice.
Kind of neat that, though.
I do.
I know I look good in the car, but I'm sweating.
Texans signed cornerback Arthur Millett, most recently of the Baltimore Ravens. Been around a while. Been around since 2017. He was age 31 season last year. He's bounced around the league a little bit. Pittsburgh, the Jets, New Orleans. Most recently with Baltimore. His best season came 2 years ago with the Ravens in 2023. He had an over 70 PFF grade. He's a cornerback. He's a slot cornerback. I did a quick Google search on him after they signed him, and one of the videos that popped up was him by himself getting into the face of about 5 or 6 Kansas City Chiefs before the AFC title game a few years ago.
He'll fit right in with the D'Amico Ryan's defense.
I see what they see in this guy. Only played 3 games last year. He was injured for most of the last season. This is a depth move, obviously. Slot corner is a position where, you know, it's Jalen Petrie's position right now to a degree. And then they drafted Jalen Smith out of USC, who's got sort of that slot background as well. But this is a depth. You know, he's going to be fighting to make the team.
So they sign a scrappy guy, seems like maybe a fiery guy and a veteran.
Yeah.
Right in time for training camp, right before we get to watch these practices.
I don't feel like we need more fiery guys for training camp.
I don't feel like we need it, but I'll take it.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like that's going to add a little bit of intrigue, or at least conceptually it does. So, yeah. But you know what I like about it, at least for me, is that it confirms that I'm not crazy for being worried about their cornerback position at large. The depth of it. Obviously not the top end. We know Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter are studs. But after that, I feel like it's been an issue. I feel like the Ronald Darby signing was in part to really address that issue, and then they get surprised and he retires.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for the last several weeks or so of going and getting a cornerback off the streets.
Yep.
And so it speaks to not desperation, but some level of concern in the depth of that position. I think it's real.
No question. All right, those are your headlines for today. Up next, as we head into the 7 o'clock hour, a couple big examples of this yesterday. Texan fans, if you're listening, be glad that we have a team where the owner just lets the GM, like a real GM, do the job. Be glad we have that, because there are two shining examples of what it looks like when the owner tries to run personnel that happened yesterday that are just, well, they're awesome. When it's not your team, they're great. And we'll hear them coming up next.